All right. Today, it's been a long time. I didn't realize it's been like 11 weeks, which is a long time in such a short letter in the epistle to the Ephesians that we have spent here. And today we're going to wrap it up if nothing happens. Okay. And we're going to start, kind of land on this. There's another very, very familiar passage, and there's so many of these memory verse type passages in this letter. It's such a significant book of the Bible. This one I'm sure everyone's heard. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Who's heard that before? Three people. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all the circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Okay. The whole armor of God. Who's heard about it? Okay. Yeah, most of you this time. Half a dozen, perhaps. Okay. So we could... we could talk about, the schemes of the devil and what the rulers and authorities are and the cosmic powers are. And then we could take about each piece of this armor and we could make a diagram. We could talk about exactly what the breastplate did and what the belt did and the shoes and so on. Right? Who's heard light before? Okay. I've probably done that before. So when we hear this, when we think about this, we think about these ideas. Because these are big ideas, and this is kind of this epic language, right? It's kind of the, Lord of the Rings or, that sort of language. It's kind of this, very rich imagery here, right? Very deep, very, very serious, just very evocative language, right? And we normally think about, what do we normally think about when we talk about these things? What do we need this armor for? All right? These attacks of the devil, what form do they come in? What are this battle that we're in, this wrestling that they're in? When we normally, at least for me anyway, when I think about these things, I typically think about, in real world terms, okay? I normally think about like my personal holiness, right? To withstand the schemes of the devil and, keep myself holy. I need all of these supernatural powers from God, right? Am I right? Typically? Okay. So I'm glad that makes sense. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength here. But there's this C word that I use all the time when I talk about the Bible. What is it? I say it's very, very important. Huh? Huh? No, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Everybody ever heard me say the word context before? Okay, one person. Maybe I've done such a poor job, much worse job up here than I thought. When you're reading something, whether it's the Bible or whether it's the newspaper or whether it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy, you always, when you read something, you naturally use context. Right? Context clues. Right? They teach you that like in third grade probably. For reading comprehension, context is an incredibly important part of reading comprehension. Is it not, Miss Librarian?
Definitely.
Thank you. I'm glad to get that confirmation. And the Bible is no different, okay? But the Bible is a little different than other books because we've taken these multiple books of the Bible and we have chopped them up. See, I did it right here. I was thinking this week, I need to stop doing this. Ephesians 6. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. This is a letter. This doesn't have chapters. Right? And not only that, we've numbered the sentences pretty much, these statements. So we've made it easy for ourselves to take these letters, to take these texts, to take these stories, these biographies, whatever the case may be, these prophecies, this poetry, whatever the case may be, of the particular genre of each individual book in what we call the Bible. We've made it incredibly easy to chop it up into little pieces and analyze this piece, right? Which you do never do that in any other reading that you do, do you? Okay. So, let's pretend that we don't do that. And let's back up and let's refresh our memory about what Ephesians is about. Let's get context, okay, before we come to this. Because this is this evocative language, this is powerful imagery here. I want us to really to get it. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Chapter 1. Again, I got to quit doing this. Ephesians, early on in the letter, Ephesians is kind of this giant funnel. It starts these huge, big, broad ideas, just cosmic in scope, literally cosmic in scope, literally talking about the universe and the future of the universe, right? It starts with these big ideas and it narrows it down and gets focused and focused as it goes on. Starts with these huge ideas. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So the first big idea, this kind of framing idea for this letter is God is good. Right? God is incredibly good. God is unimaginably good to us. And He has now revealed to us His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. And this is the plan. This is the plan of God, okay? At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. The plan of God is to bring everything under the authority of Christ. The plan of God is for Christ to fix everything. To put this cosmos back together. And it is already started with us, with our relationship with Him, with our hearts. The big idea, God is good. God is going to fix everything. That's what He intends to do. Okay? And it starts out with some of the first implications of that, of this fixing, of this relationship, this goodness of God's relationship. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. God has already started His fixing of the cosmos. God has already started His bringing together of all things under the authority of Christ. He's already started it in you. And He did it, not you. Salvation, this is not a reward for the good things we have done. This is coming out of His character. This is what He does. This is what He wants to do. This is what He has always intended to do with this cosmos. No one can boast about it. It's His nature. We are God's masterpiece. We're kind of the centerpiece of this whole fixing of the cosmos. We're kind of the centerpiece of this story, this redemptive symphony He is playing. He has created us anew. He has recreated us in Christ Jesus. For a purpose, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. We're not just passive, listeners. We're not just waiting, to go to heaven when we die. We are active participants. He saved us just, because He wants us to do something. He wants us to play a part. He wants us to participate with Him in His reclamation of all things. He wants our lives to mean something. Okay? Everything. So you see the big ideas? And we're focusing down and down. When I think of all this, when I think of all these big ideas, these cosmic ideas, these cosmic facts about the nature of God and the nature of our relationship with Him and the nature of the purpose of our lives, of our existence. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. And Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So these big ideas, they should work themselves out in us and in our lives. And God wants to be in us. He wants us to be in Him. He wants us to be His partners. He wants to empower us with His Spirit, His pneuma, His breath. And He wants our lives to be full and complete, to be full of life and power coming from Him. He wants us to be secure and strong and be empowered to understand just the incredible width and length and height and depth of His love for us, His defining characteristic. Our lives should be centered around that. Okay? So we started the cosmic ideas, the cosmic in scope, and we're narrowing down until we get to talking about our relationship, our individual way of relating to this good God. Therefore, because of all this, because God is so good, because God has a plan for this cosmos, because God's plan for this cosmos involves you, because you were created to play a part in this plan, you were created to play an instrument in this symphony, and God is so good, God loves you so much that you have to have His supernatural power to understand how much He loves you. If He has this beautiful, amazing life that He wants you to live, amazingly significant life that He wants you to live. Therefore, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. You've been called up into this cosmic plan, right? You've been called to a life of significance. You've been called to a life united with His. A new life. You've been recreated. I just beg you to act like it. To lead a life worthy of that. And this period here kind of marks a turning point. Except because we started in it with the top of our funnel, these cosmic shaped ideas, and we're narrowing down and narrowing down. And now we're getting into the brass tacks. We're getting into the practical applications. We're talking about what these big ideas actually look like in practice. Okay? What these big ideas mean for our day-to-day life and for our everyday interactions and for the kind of people we're actually supposed to be. Okay? You know, and most of the letters in the Bible kind of follow this, you know, a somewhat similar pattern. You have the opening of the letter talk about these huge, sweeping, big ideas. You got the theology in the first half, and then you go to talking about, you know, it's seemingly like boring stuff or how you're supposed to treat people and so on and so forth. And here's where it shifts. You're kind of drawing a line. You're trying to drawing this connection. You're connecting the dots between the theological ideas about God, and you're connecting the dots to what it means for how I'm supposed to live my life, the kind of person I'm supposed to be. Okay? And he tells us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. There's a direct connection. You know, as strange as it may seem, there's a direct connection between being humble and gentle people, being patient people, loving each other. There's a direct connection between all of that and God saving this cosmos. Because the God who saves this cosmos acts like this. This is what He acts like. He is humble and He is gentle. He is incredibly patient with us. He makes unimaginable allowance for our faults. And He has love that we can't possibly even begin to grasp. So therefore, if we're going to be united with Him, if we're going to walk like Him, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, whatever language you want to use, if we're going to be His people, we act like Him. Okay? And it goes on. That you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. It's not that God just doesn't want us to have any fun. It's like all this stuff is antithetical to the way He actually wants us to live. He doesn't want us to use other people. He doesn't want us to be corrupt. Instead, let the Spirit, the breath of God, renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Righteous doesn't mean you're extra good at following rules. Righteous means that your life, that your mind, yourself is just fully integrated with the way God wants you to be. Right? And he goes on. Imitate God, therefore, and everything you do. No, act like God. Okay? Because you are His dear children. If you act like God, you live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And he goes on. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just realized I shouldn't have used this translation. Of the NLT here from verse 19, because we went into the depth about, it says, speak to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, it's talking about living your life like a song, as we talked about. It has nothing whatsoever with singing music in church. Live your life like a song. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the funnel, right? And all of this, it's all related. It's that all these huge cosmic ideas shrink down and they are applied in our lives and how we, the kind of people we are and how we treat each other. And then we continue on this narrowing down this focus, and we continue on with pinpointing what in our daily lives, what being a Christian actually looks like. Further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? And we've talked here for what, 3 or 4 weeks? And he gives examples of how husbands and wives should relate to each other in this reciprocal submission, this reciprocal choosing of the other person over yourself. And the parents and children, the reciprocal choosing of the other person, this reciprocal submission. And your employers and employees reciprocally, submitting to each other and choosing the other person and tending for and caring for the other person. All right? Remember that? Okay. So, that is the context. All right? Is this huge cosmic idea shrunk down pretty quickly into this narrow pinpoint focus on what your life, your daily life, on how that's related to these cosmic ideas, but what you do in your daily life and the shape of person you are supposed to be because you are saved and called by God. Okay? And that kind of person is a person who's gentle and patient and full of grace and forgiveness, and someone who above all is known for your love. That's by far the most critical thing. Your love for other people. Your And love not in terms of an emotion, as we talked about so many times here, but love is you just wishing the best for another person. Wishing for and working for the good of another person. That's love. That is what defines people who follow God, right? People who are caught up into this cosmic scheme of God's to fix this cosmos. And it is worked out in the things that we do with our lives. Right? And the kind of people that we are and how we interact with other people. It's worked out in our marriages and in our families and in the workplace, right? Okay? Now, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So, what's he mean when he says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might? What is that related to? Have we suddenly shifted gears? And now we're talking about religious stuff and our personal holiness? What do we need this supernatural strength for? What do we need this armor of God? What do we need this breastplate and this belt and these shoes for? What do we need that for? I'll give you a hint. Because being the kind of person that he went to such great pains and in such great detail, he explained that we need to be. The kind of person who submits to your spouse and to your children and to your employer. The kind of person who lives a life filled with love for other people. A person who is gentle and patient and just makes allowance for other people's faults. Is that easy? Not for me. Not for me. And I can't do it just by trying harder. And I have a feeling you can't either. And these schemes of the devil, these schemes of the enemy, and the fact that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers over this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Man, just the enemy is a roaring lion seeking marriages to devour. And families to destroy. You know, if you ever, and the enemy is so present and so evident in our society. And one of the enemy's, I think, greatest goals is to see us treat each other like crap. And everything in our society is lined up and just focused on getting us focused on ourselves and not the people around us. There's so much temptation, yes, and there's so much of all this stuff we always think about as personal holiness, but in reality it's not personal holiness. It's related to how we treat other people. This is a dark present age for a group of people who are trying to treat each other right. For a group of people who are honestly attempting to follow the way of Christ and live a life filled with love for other people. It's a hard time. It's always been a hard time. But we're not doing it on our own. We're not left with our own devices, to our own devices. It's not that God gives us this list of things we have to accomplish. And this, it gives us this outline of the sort of person he wants us to be, and then just says, go get after it. Good luck with that. It says, take up the whole armor of God. This is a battle. This is a fight you are in. This epic war that you are engaging in. When the forces of evil and the forces of good. Take up the whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Having done all, to live a life filled with love. Having done all, to submit to each other. Having done all, to choose the other person over yourself. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Truth, this is the best possible way to live. Among so many other things. Truth, that God is so good. Truth, He has saved us. Period. He is saving this cosmos. Period. Love wins. Let me put on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, this righteous living of being just fully connected and fully integrated with the kind of life God intends for us to live. And His shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness, the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of the gospel of peace. I love that phrase. Gospel is not, you know, a list of steps of how you get saved. Okay, that could be a part of it, or implication of it, or result of it. But gospel is good news. You know, euangelion, the announcement. And the announcement specifically is that Jesus is Lord. Right? He said the crucified and resurrected Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. That is the gospel. The gospel of peace, the good news of peace, that God is making peace. Bringing everything together under the authority of Christ. In all circumstances, taking up the shield of faith, the shield of trust, the shield of loyalty, of faithfulness. Probably encompasses all the different meanings of the word faith. That you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Just trust. Just have faith. Just trust that God is good. That trust that God is fixing everything. Just trust that everything is going to work out in the end. Live a life of loyalty to that idea. Live a life congruent with that. Take the helmet of salvation. Just knowing that you are chosen, handpicked, saved by grace through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast, by this good God, because that's what He does. And the sword of the Spirit, the breath of God, which is the Word of God. We're not talking about the Bible here. The sword of the Spirit, the pneuma, the breath, the things that God breathes out, His communication. To get tied into, wrap yourself up in all of these supernatural aspects of your relationship to God. These things that are incredibly real. God is so real. And His breath, His Spirit is so real. Use it. Make it real to you. Make it a part of your life. Strap it on like armor. Tie into it. Make it a part of who you are. Because that's the only way that you're going to be able to stand firm in the type of person that God wants you to be. Because everything is stacked against you otherwise. Everything in this creation that this enemy has control of is stacked against you otherwise. It's stacked against you becoming the kind of person God wants you to be. But you have access to something so much more powerful than this present darkness. Make it a part of who you are. And pray at all times in the Spirit. Just soak yourself in the breath of God with all prayer and supplication. So this kind of life that God has for us to live, it truly is the best possible way to live. I truly believe that. I know you guys do too. But that best possible way to live doesn't come about just because you try a little harder. It's a self-help thing. It's about latching into and wrapping ourselves up into God and His Spirit and His plan and making this stuff real in our lives. And it's supernatural, and that's what we need. And it closes with this. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. Peace be with you. Peace, the shalom of God. This everything being put right. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love. I love this language. Love with faithfulness. And we pray that God would give us love and compassion for other people. Love like His with loyalty to who He is. May that be our prayer.